until Friday. We're flying the Bulldog Hour. Kevin Horry alongside. We'll take you to 3 and then up to our good friend Phil Benatti's fine show. Behind the Bench takes you to 6 o'clock, and then get ready, get out of the way. The smoking hot, white hot San Francisco Giants are ready to wow you once again as the folks at Oracle waiting for another magic series. I'm trying the best I can, friends. The Rays are in today. They were up in Sacramento where they actually had a fairly good time against the A's, and we'll see what the Giants can do. The Giants have only lost 12 of their last 13 at home, so things are looking good. I'll tell you all about the schedule for both stations. It's going to be fine, trust me. When they go on this mad run in September and the Giants go like 28-2 the rest of the way, everybody's go, ow, that was a distant memory there in mid-August. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'll tell you all about the schedule for both stations a little bit later on, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his terrific business, Precision Civil Engineering, Planning, Land Surveying, Civil Engineering, Landscape Architecture, Construction Management, all there under one roof. More information, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. Jackson with me on a Friday to talk Bulldog football. We'll do that momentarily, but first, our other lead dogs want to spend some time with you. One, our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing allow me the time every day to tell you about the weather. Again, terrific local people. They've been in NorCal and the Central California regions of Fresno and the metro area since 1981. Again, avocado pull up in a big hurry. If you give them a call at 825-5337, which is 825-LEES, or jump online at leesair.com. Also, they bring you the leesair.com hotline, which is 559-320. That's how Phil and myself bring our guests up during the week and how Phil can also take callers from the general public. As far as forecast goes, again, you can't complain for this time of year, and we have the skies a little bit hazy, and the smoke from wildfires can be problematic depending upon which way the wind happens to blow. But by and large, when you take it in totality, when you're dealing with mid-August and it's a high of 97 today and a low in the 60s, then 95 tomorrow, 93 Sunday, 95 Monday, 96 Tuesday, 99 Wednesday, before we get back to a 102 next Thursday, you really can't complain, and I don't think anybody should be. Enjoy it while you're out there, and once again, be careful around the waterways and be very mindful of the smoke that can be around the wildfires this time of year. Certainly, SoCal, if the winds shift, you see those fires from the coastal areas finding their way up here. Anyway, thanks everybody at Lee's for allowing us the time again to tell you about the weather. LeesAir.com, 825-5337, Lee's. Our other reminders, our good buddies at KFC's in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, proud sponsors of the Bulldog Bread Collective, really appreciate it. If you stop in to grab a bucket or two, tell them thanks for being part of the solution at Fresno State. And right now, to celebrate the Bulldogs and to celebrate the fine F1 the movie, all about Formula One racing, Brad Pitt and company, in the theaters right now. The $7 deal is in play. Crispy chicken, tasty tenders, or classic famous bowl. Any of the three for $7. Each come with a drink, sides, and even sweet pie poppers. Also, you can top it all off with the new peaches and cream sweet lightning soda. It's a great deal for $7 for a limited time. And also still going on every Tuesday, and this has been around for a good long while now, the 8-piece $10 bucket deal. You can get 8 pieces of great dark meat chicken, original extra crispy, or you can get 8 original recipe tenders. That is on every Tuesday. So check things out at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. And again, tell them thanks for being part of the Bulldog Bread Collective, part of the solution to the financial issues that every school, particularly state universities, are facing. The University of Kansas is a public institution who just picked up a cool $300 million, so maybe they are not as worried about it as the rest of us are. We'll see how that equates on the field in a little over a week. I'll talk to Jackson about that in just a moment. The other reminder comes courtesy of our friend Joe Cruz, his great business, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, celebrating their 25th anniversary in town. Joe has been a booster at Fresno State for over three decades. His terrific business features pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food-grade chemical hoses, suction hoses, everything you need under one roof at 4529 North Marty Avenue in Town Suite 103. You can also give him a call at 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE, or go to the web at superiorpipeusa.com, or Gabe, who works for Joe, has a direct email, gabe.sbs@gmail.com. If you're someone who's working at a plant, if you're a maintenance worker, if you're around a boiler at all, a boiler service, a delivery service, anything where a valve is critical to your business and to your bottom line financially, if one starts to go down, your business can go down with it. The great aspect, not only the terrific components that Joe was able to offer to everybody, is the same-day, family-friendly service. You give him a call, hit him up on the web, sit down with him, and Joe will analyze your problem and come up with a solution with a same-day estimate and same-day service to keep you up and running so you don't suffer that catastrophic turn to your business. At the same time, if you have a few minutes, he'll tell you what he has done in the way of donation to Fresno State over the last 30-plus years, and will point you right now to the website at GoBulldogs.com. There's a donate link at the top. Click on that. Take you to different areas. BulldogFoundation.org is there. By the way, they had a terrific kickoff dinner last night, the BDF did. I think around 900 people or so there, so a real good turnout. But they've got their link there. There's also a link for Myers Champion Circle, information for tickets and parking for all events on campus. And, of course, you've got the Bulldogs home in just a couple of weeks now on the 30th against a very good Georgia Southern team. And then, in addition to all of that, you have got the ways to give, so you can give money directly to a sports club so your money goes to a team you choose. For instance, quarterback club for football, timeout club for men's basketball. Jack Fertig with me every week to talk basketball on the board of directors there. He said they'd love to have more members. Give them a call directly on his cell if you'd like, 559-287-3305, or email FertigJack@AOL.com. Other links are there for other sports as well. Dugout club for baseball, for instance, other men's and women's sports under ways to give. And then finally, as we mentioned earlier, BulldogBread.com, the very important collective for NIL monies. Chris started it at the station, handed it off to Marcus McMarion, two Bulldog legends running a relay with us right now. Really important. If you have any idea, sponsorship-wise, any donation, contact Marcus at BulldogBread.com, bread, B-R-E-A-D.com. He'll get back to you as soon as possible. Anyway, thanks to Joe Cruz, the entire gang at Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, Ed Dunkel, everybody at Precision Civil Engineering, friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing, and the local KFC operators in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. We appreciate one and all. Speaking of appreciating somebody, I always appreciate my de facto co-host, Mr. Jackson Moore, BarkBoard.com, with us right now, Tuesdays and Fridays, but Brian Pantlish will be coming back in another week or so on Friday, and Jackson will move back to his normal Tuesday-Thursday slot at that point for the rest of the football season. So let's bring him up right now. Jackson, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, Jackson. I mentioned last night, really good turnout there, and I know folks are really happy, some that were able to meet players like Bryson Donaldson, et cetera, and Jackson, I got to ask you about the energy right now going into this year. Last year, it was an odd kind of situation. You and I were, I'm not saying we were in the crosshairs of it last year, but it seems like a long, long time ago, in all honesty, we went through this. And incredibly, I'm not talking about conference realignment. Can you imagine that? That I make the comment, we were kind of in the crosshairs, and it seems like it's been a long time, and I'm actually not talking about conference realignment for the first time since 2022. But it does seem like a long time ago with that as well. But if you remember, going back to January prior to last summer, the conversation was about Teddy, if you recall. He had stepped away from the bowl game, and we were all concerned about his health, and I had mentioned to you on air during a January visit a year ago plus that I would be very surprised. Now, we're not talking about this last January, we're talking about the January prior. I would be very surprised if Jeff were coaching the team when things kicked off at Michigan, and it caused a stir, to say the least, okay? And as it turned out, Teddy did have to step away. And so the entire summer last year at this time, we were just in a state of flux about what was going on. It seems so much different this year. And it's weird that you would have a new coaching staff, yet it seems like you have a lot more stability when normally the holdovers bring stability, not the new group. But this seems like a group coaching-wise that's been coaching together for about 20 years. Am I wrong about this?
Yeah, you know, I talked to one of the retro freshmen recently. I think it was Titus Kajavi who gave me the quote that, you know, he's talking about his Fresno State experience here. And I think the first thing that came out of his mouth was that he's had three different head coaches. This is a kid that's from Clovis West and has been here for 14 months on campus, right? And has yet to play a game, was going into the very beginning of his second year, and he's had three different head coaches in that short amount of time. So it's definitely been a whirlwind for a lot of the players, you know, in today's day and age. There's a lot of them that are first, second, and third year guys. Very few fourth and fifth year players that have been here all their career. So most of the team is either new and that's all they know is coaching from their staff, or have gone through a lot over the last year or two. And it does feel like there's stability. It's from all accounts, all intents and purposes, it sounds like the buy-in was there relatively quickly and easy. It's almost sounds a little bit too good to be true the way everything bought in. But I think Coach Ince just has a personality that wasn't too off from what Coach Skipper was trying to do before, and said a lot of the right things away from the field and about this program. And I think it's just been a very easy transition for the guys. And you mentioned as well, it does feel like there's a sense of familiarity, but you know, these coaches, some of them have worked together, but not all of them. It's not quite like Kalen DeBoer. It just seemed like everyone on his staff had been with him at Sioux Falls at one point. This staff, I mean, there's a few that came over from Northern Illinois, but otherwise a lot of them knew Coach Ince but have never worked with him. So it's been pretty critical that everything's come into play. The two coordinators are definitely going to have a lot on their shoulders once we actually see this team in action. A lot is going to be on them, but they both seem like very bright minds, and they both seem like they know what they're doing. They both come from success the past year at the previous schools, and all the players are kind of able to latch onto that, it seems like.
Well, your points are well taken, and also with DeBoer, I mean, Kalen was in a situation where even though Jeff did not know him personally when he first hired him, certainly Kalen had been on the staff. This was a case of bringing someone in who had not been here before, and yet things have so far run very smoothly. Now, look, you and I have talked about this, and Matt's well aware of it. It is just win, baby. If you win, everything is fine. Like we talked these first three games, you could win all three, you could lose all three, or anywhere in between. I mean, that's just, I mean, you could win in Lawrence, Kansas, where you're a two-touchdown underdog, and come home and lose to Georgia Southern, and then go right back to Corvallis and win. I mean, that's how it's going to work here, because you're going to have three games against three. I want to be careful how I say this. Three comparable opponents, meaning that they are capable of beating you, but you are capable of beating them. This isn't, we've talked before, opening at USC where you're thinking, okay, maybe we can stay in the game at the start of the year. It wasn't like 2005 where you had, you know, that resume of the year already there. You had times on the road, or as I mentioned, Tedford's first year as head coach here, where you were going to Tuscaloosa and then to Seattle back-to-back. Okay, you were just hoping to stay in those games. That's not the case. As you and I talked the other day, Jackson, you're going to play 12 games, and by and large, every one of those games, if you play well, you can win all of those games. Now, you won't. Odds will tell you you won't. It'd be great if you would. But by the same token, if you don't play well, those teams are capable of beating you. So it is an intriguing year to have a new coaching staff and have 12 games in front of you, and you can't say for an absolute certainty on any given week that you're going to win no matter what. You can't just toss the helmet out there and you're going to win. Also, you have a chance to win every game, and it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I did want to ask you, though, when you look at where we're at right now, do you say this Fresno State team has the feel of a team, as you've been around them, that can go to Lawrence, Kansas on an opening game where things sometimes are uneven and get it done? That in it would not be an amazing feat for for, in your mind, to see a two-touchdown underdog Bulldogs win the football game there?
Yeah, you know, I'm going into it with the mindset that it's certainly possible and that it wouldn't be a shock by any means for them to pull this one off. I think it's just probably even being around the team, it's a little tougher to tell because so much of it is in the trenches. And I've found that that's often the toughest spot to analyze in fall camp, especially when your O-line's going up against your own D-line.
Right.
It's tough to exactly tell what the talent level is between the two. And, of course, quite a bit of that part of practice is closed anyway. So, you know, a little bit easier in 2023 in Purdue to say, you know, Mike Keene had a lot of hype coming in as a quarterback, and there were a lot of receiving targets that seemed like they were going to be weapons, and that was the kind of offense that they were going to run. So figured that they were going to have some success moving the ball and that they should be able to play good enough defense going into there. I think there's a lot to work with on this defense, but I think the tail of the game is going to be how the D tackles do and how the O-line does. And it's just kind of a big toss-up right now. You hope that they exceed expectations. You know, we just don't know what to expect with this O-line. You could also probably see a scenario where they're a little bit outmatched by Kansas in the trenches, and it's going to make life a little bit tougher, but not impossible, even if that's the case.
By the way, very quickly here in email land, before we run out of time, which we will, as you know, too quickly, shout-outs first to my great friend Gary up in Atwater. Gary sending his ticket to me, not his actual ticket, a facsimile thereof. That's right, Gary shipped his ticket to the game to me. Thanks, Gary. I'll sell it at face value. But I just want people to know, Gary will be in Lawrence, Kansas for the 5:30 Central Time kickoff a week from this Saturday. He'll be in Section 23, Row 60, Seat 32. Stop by and see him. Thanks, Gare, for sending the information. He said he'll be there for both me and he, and I appreciate that a great deal. The other thing I wanted to mention to our buddy Brent, pro football-wise, yeah, the Rams games are on, the preseason games are on in town because Channel 30 is a Disney O&O, and they have the vested interest in that through KABC in Los Angeles, which is part of that chain of that and KGO in the Bay Area. But for whatever reason, the Raider and 49er games were not picked up. At least they haven't been in the preseason, and so it means that you get blacked out, even if it happened to be available on NFL Network, until they play the replay of the game. You get one from somewhere else to protect the local markets, even if the local market isn't carrying the game. And I know it makes no sense at all, but that's the way it works, and it is a little odd. I don't remember the last time it happened, but I did want to address that before we got too far away in the other conversation. All right, Jackson, back to Fresno State directly. I've mentioned this to you a couple of times. There's part of me, and I know the Bulldogs want to establish that smash mouth, we're coming at you, line them up and beat them. But do you think that Josh Davis might have more passing plays in this first game than we think? When you break it down, because I just have a feeling that if Kansas is reading everything, knowing it's a new coaching staff and knowing they'll look back at what Matt Entz had done with great success at other levels, that they're going to be looking at loading the box. Do you see Davis as saying, you know what, it's a long season, we have plenty of time to establish this, let's go out and throw it some more than people expect? There's part of me that wonders about this. What say you?
Yeah, I think so. I think inherently it should be, this should be one of the tougher teams on the schedule, if not the toughest to run on, just given the bodies that Kansas is going to have in the trenches. So I think inherently you're going to have a little more of a plan B, perhaps, you know, if the running game doesn't go as strongly as you hope it will go. But I also think just in general, this offense, they've really big emphasis on taking what the defense has given them, whether it's Kansas or it's the FCS opponent Southern in a few weeks.
Right.
It's about what they're showing you and kind of taking advantage of that. And if Kansas is going to load the box, I think that's E.J. Warner's signal just to switch the play and throw it to where the defense isn't. And I think that's going to be just a big part of this offense. Now, where you get into trouble is if Kansas doesn't load the box and they're still good enough to stop the run, that's where things can fall apart. And that's where this offense, you know, has to be above that line. The O-line has to be enough of a threat to where they do have to account for the numbers in the box, and that way that the passing game can do what it needs to do as well.
We're talking about the analysis of the game that is out there, and a lot of it is a generalization from last year, and you brought it up when I broached the subject of Bryson Donaldson's numbers. You look at Donaldson's numbers from last year, and you can view them as pedestrian if you don't understand, right, the reality. They were all backloaded, correct? Most of it, right, the vast majority of it into three games?
Yeah, I mean, the numbers in the last three games alone, if you just divide that up per game, it's pretty solid, especially for a freshman. Just about any running back would be happy with those types of figures. But, yeah, I mean, 462 on the year and, 270 or so, over half of it came in the last
right.
three games alone. It was 11 yards a carry against Colorado State and over 6 yards per carry on that three-game run. So it was really effective, and you're counting on an offense that's more catered to a guy like that to be even more productive.
And you've talked about the stable of running backs. How many guys do you think will get substantial carries? I mean, significant enough that you can draw some conclusion in this Kansas game? Are we going to see 3, 4, 5 guys actually carry the ball multiple times in this game from the backfield?
I do believe so. It sounds like that's the plan. At least the first two games really open up the committee, and then maybe see who's got the hot hand, who's most
right.
successful, and kind of narrow it down from there. It is going to be kind of by the fly in terms of if the running game is just struggling no matter who's back there. You know, maybe they don't have the luxury of rotating a bunch of players. It might shrink things down and go to the passing game a little bit. You know, you're going to have your pass specialists, your pass protectors that you want in there. So that might hamstring them a little bit. But if they have their way, I would expect to see perhaps all 5 of the main backs all have at least somewhat of a role, and probably about 3 guys get substantial carry.
The issue of quarterback mobility, you know, the NFL has turned into a league now, and we understand how fast the defense, everybody is in the NFL, but the defensive players now in the league are just unbelievably big, strong, and fast, and it is really difficult to make any headway unless your quarterback can pull it down and go. Do the Bulldogs have the guy in Warner that can pull it down and go? I know that he's capable of getting outside the pocket, but do you consider him a viable runner, Jackson?
Warner's an interesting case because you look at his statistics and not much in terms of rushing yards. Also, very few sacks over his career, and that's not because he had great O-lines. He was one of the most pressured quarterbacks in the entire country last season. Only got sacked 9 times the whole year. Had 12 net positive rushing yards. So his career longs are 11 and 12 yards for a pretty good sample size of his career. So I don't think we're going to see Warner take any big runs. But he's just very elusive in the pocket and just getting out of trouble. And you're going to see him when the pressure comes, if it's second, third down, and medium and long, and he's dropping back to pass and the pressure comes. He's not going to run backwards. He's probably not going to be all that quick to throw it away either, but he is going to get out of harm's way and maybe pick up a yard or two or toss it away or maybe find a late receiver at the last second. So I saw even some of that in the spring preview. Snap under center, drop back, look for his guys, weren't there. Pressure was coming. He takes it upfield, gets it out 4 or 5 yards. So, I mean, that's not a bad weapon when the alternative of getting sacked or losing 5 yards like it felt like it was last year.
Speaking of last year, we had the set packages for Wood last year, and we knew they were coming. And obviously, with his ability to run, it was understandable. If you saw him come in the game, you figured that he was going to be taking off from scrimmage. That's why he was out there. With the 3 quarterbacks right now, do you see a specific package for either of the other 2 to run it, or Warner himself with a design run? Or is it all going to be an offshoot of what's going on in the field at that particular moment? And does that mean we're not likely to see either QB in a set package here or there?
you know, they've left the door open for it. It's hard for me to see a scenario where you take Warner off the field for Conklin specifically. Just Conklin's not a runner either. He is a guy
right.
that is very quick to throw the ball away. Going to avoid sacks as well, which is equally nice, but just a little bit of a different approach than Warner. But Coach Davis did mention that Jaden Mandel has shown signs of being a quarterback run option for, you know, whether it was going to be him running the offense or maybe even just in a package. And we've seen him, I saw him in high school run it quite a bit out of the offense and just look very physical. College is a different game, but we saw also a time or two on the point after kick or point after touchdown, you know, fake plays where Mandel would take the direct snap and just bowl over there and get in the end zone. So I wouldn't be surprised to see a package from Mandel, but it's not what Wood was doing, not that elusive, maybe east and west type of option. That's going to be more of a physical approach. There is a guy on the roster, Jonathan Kraft, who is almost a state track contender coming out of high school several years in a row, but probably still a bit green, probably not a guy that they're going to throw out there and ask him to run a read option just to mix things up, maybe in a year or two, but probably not now.
And I've kidded you about who's always open, the tight end, but there is a certain degree of seriousness and truth, obviously, to that statement. How many tight ends do you see involved in this offense as we start things in Lawrence, Kansas?
I think four is a legitimate number. I mean, again, even going back to the spring preview, probably that same drive and the play I'm referring to about Warner, Bulldogs have two tight ends out there, and the next thing you know, they shut them out, bring in two more. All four of those guys are ones that have played. You've got Richie Anderson, who took over late last year, who looks very promising, should be probably the lead guy there. Saw some time late last season, and Cameron Beecham was expected to be the breakout guy at the beginning of the year and kind of faded out. Jake Carwater is a little more physical, and perhaps even Jace Nix, if they need another one, he might be ready to go. Or if someone gets hurt, they could be able to keep implementing that without a drop-off. So they've had options, and it feels like the top four guys are all pretty viable weapons and that there's not a huge gap between each of them. They're kind of interchangeable, and they all bring a little bit something different to the table at the same time.
And they're always open. I keep telling you right now, they're always open. Freeman the best option on the outside right now?
Yeah, certainly. That's going to be the go-to guy, definitely, in this offense. And I think the list of alternatives or the other guys that are going to be playing, it feels like it grew a little bit during this camp. It feels like it's less about finding one rather than kind of narrowing down several players that have showed some promise. So Jordan Brown, a guy that's been here for a long time, came in as a walk-on. We haven't seen a lot of him. Has really won over the coaching staff, and he's definitely a smaller guy and more of a slot receiver, but I expect to see him a lot. And several others, Josiah Aon, Javion McClain, Ezekiel Evitt. I mean, there's a few guys there that are kind of probably going to play this one out through the year. Maybe Harold Duvall as well. He's in that mix. So
right.
It might be who plays well in these first three games that gets those touches and snaps for the last nine.
Of course, you and I will look at this game more closely next week closing in, but I did want to ask you defensively about Foreman. He shows flashes, still waiting for consistency. I know he's got to stay healthy. Jackson, is he the X factor defensively right now? Is he the wound spring that if he goes in the right direction, Fresno State has a completely different look defensively, or is he not that guy?
I think it's a mix of things there just because the Bulldogs do have a pretty strong D-end group, and there's going to be a lot of times he's probably not on the field even to be an X-factor. So especially early downs, I don't think Jazon Jacks is going to come off the field on first or second down, whether you got Corey Foreman or anyone else at D-end. But what I do think is going to be pretty special about this defense is it's very hard not to imagine that on third and long when you're really looking to pass rush, probably going to be Corey Foreman on one side and Finn Claypool on the other. Probably can't get away with that on first and second when you got to stay balanced, but when you can just let it fly and you know a pass is coming and put those two guys out on the field, that is about as dangerous of a sack duo as you can get at this level. So Claypool, 30-plus career sacks as a FCS transfer. And then you got the other end of it, a former five-star who definitely has five-star athleticism and can make that happen on the other side. I think just, that's just going to be a nightmare for a lot of teams, especially teams that like to throw it around but maybe don't have the best O-line. I could imagine last year's Fresno State team trying to play against Claypool and Foreman having just a disastrous time. So to get a couple of those matchups, it's going to be a lot of fun when those situations come up.
Yeah, last year would have been a nightmare because a guy like Mikey Keene would have struggled mightily against that kind of outside pressure, and two guys that in all honesty could outrun him, which was part of the problem. The reason I bring it up the way I did is, Jackson, I'm not looking even as much as asking who the best player is defensively, but the guy whose play might determine, it might tip the balance, right? That's why he'd be the X factor. So if you take those two guys out, and those are two guys situationally that can make a huge difference, is there anybody you're looking at defensively saying, if this guy is fully engaged, if this guy is there 100% what you need physically and mentally, that he can turn it, but that you're a little worried about it, whether it's a physical issue or something else? Or is it unfair for me to ask that question? I'll answer it for you. It is unfair of me to ask that question. That having been said, is there anybody out there that you're hopeful will be on the field all the time that you wonder about it because of physical issues? How about that? That's as good as I could do. Okay. You got to talk to them. So, I mean, I don't want to say something when they turn to walk away afterward. That's the beauty about being in this seat instead of yours. So go right ahead.
Yeah, you know, there's just a few spots that aren't, I don't want to phrase it as physical concerns by any means, but there are guys that, you know, they got to live up to or potentially exceed their right past and their current expectations for this defense to really be well-rounded. Pretty much the whole D-line or D-tackle group, it's not a lot of experience, but they are guys that are physically ready, and they're a lot of 6'3", 300-pounders, and they got to play like it for this defense to everything else to fall into place. Same thing at linebacker. You know, Jaden Pearson, there's a lot on his shoulders, and I have every reason to believe he's going to live up to it. And the other linebacker spot, the other cornerback spot are a little bit of question marks. You know, Keontre Harris, a local redshirt freshman, I think he's sub 160, and he might be playing some snaps at cornerback, so maybe that's one where you hope that he's able to handle that at his level of progression right now. But I think in the spirit of your question, kind of the one guy I've got circled a little bit is Simeon Harris. Nickelback, just it seems like such a given that he's going to be a very strong presence there. And it's just a guy that didn't play last year. He has a lot of experience between Colorado and Utah State, but this is a little bit of a different role. And you know, he's kind of a long athlete. He's not quite of the compact nickelback that we've seen in the previous defenses at some time. So, you know, I just wonder a little bit just between some of those factors how we're going to do in the box and things. But definitely on paper, you put him, Jaden Davis, Cameron Brockett, Zillion Hamilton on defense, and you feel like you're just one guy away from being one of the best secondaries in the conference. So Harris, as long as he lives up to those expectations, definitely crosses another box off.
Well, there's no question that across the country, one of the things that continues to come up is the strength of this secondary. And as we've talked, Jackson, over and over again, if you give me a choice of two positions that I want to fill, leaving quarterback aside, and it's interesting because Pete Carroll happened to say the same thing, O-line and the defensive backs, particularly shutdown corners. And if you can get that, as we said before, an O-line that's quality, even a serviceable back, never mind a guy like Donaldson, even a serviceable back can get you yards. And then if you can get shut down corners, then your safeties can take some chances, your linebackers can take some chances. And the Bulldogs, I think, if they stay healthy, are going to have that outstanding secondary. I guess the question I have is, and this, and it is not by any means to put you behind the eight ball with anybody, is there a David Perales kind of guy out there where you say, you remember, the Bulldog defense was one thing when Perales was there. It was another when he wasn't. Is there somebody out there you say, when this guy is off the field, everything changes for this team, or not quite that particular stilted impact we've seen before.
When I look at it, I think it's probably more of a depth concern. It's just if you take out William Hamilton out for the cornerback unit, then that's a huge drop-off. And if you take Jaden Pearson away from the linebacker unit, that's a pretty big drop-off as well, I think. So just health-wise, depth-wise, I think those are the two. But you talk about David Perales, and I do think Ben Claypool is doing a lot of the same things. That's a transfer that came in, just an extremely hard worker, very mature, very effective on the field. I think he is a guy that, while his pass rushing is a specialty, you know, he's going to be a force no matter what the opposing offense is doing. But the good thing there is that if something happened to him, you got Corey Foreman and a couple of other DNs too. So they're a little better suited there, but I think he could be kind of that guy that just brings a big impact that maybe some people don't see coming.
Well, you and I talked during Perales' tenure. He was, you want to talk about 110% all the time. It didn't matter. I mean, he was an absolute maniac, a wild man out there at all times in a good way. I mean, he brought the kind of energy that just changed everything. I mean, his motor ran 110% every minute he was out there. And if you have guys like that, you're in good shape, particularly when they have the requisite talent to go with it. That old Bob Costas line about Michael Jordan, he said, when the guy with the most athletic talent also is the most competitive, that's how you get Michael Jordan. It also wasn't very easy to play with Michael Jordan because of that. And teammates love David Perales, so I'm not comparing the two. I'm just saying it's great to have a guy whose competitive nature is such that you never have to worry about it. All right, two things quickly here. One, what is your itinerary next week? We'll talk on Tuesday. Are you flying on Friday? Where are you at?
I'm going to fly out on Thursday, get a little bit of an early start out there, and check out Kansas City and Lawrence and get ready for game day.
And so you should be available on Friday, right?
Yes, that's good.
Okay, because I know you're going to Kansas City. I don't know if I've told you this, but they've got some crazy little women there, and you're going to get you one. Okay. Again, Jackson, it is a song from a long time ago. It has nothing to do with your relationship. I would never try to undermine. You married yet? I would never try to. No, still not. You are engaged, though, right?
No.
Wow. I hope somebody hasn't been undermining things. Somebody on air maybe is very careless in what he says. Honestly, see, I think you tell me that so you don't have to invite me to the wedding. I think, in point of fact, you probably have the guest list already lined up. And both you and your soon-to-be wife have said, not a chance, not him. But don't worry, invite me. I won't show up. Trust me. I almost didn't show up at my own wedding. They had to come and get me, but that's a story for another time. Oh, and I'm in trouble now. All right. Want to ask you here quickly, not a minute. It's Friday again, damn it. I wanted to ask you about the $300 million. Jackson, does it compel people around this area to say, hey, you know what, I can't stand to see the opposition get $300 million. We're jumping in. Or does it have absolutely no impact whatsoever? Just wondering. For those that aren't involved in Fresno State already, I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's pretty mind-boggling to see a number like that, but it is a little consequential for Fresno State because this isn't a one-off against Kansas. There's two more games against the Jayhawks down the road, and if they put that money to work, those games are going to be a lot more difficult than they probably thought when they scheduled the series, probably back when Kansas still didn't have a pulse on the football field.
By the way, Wilbert Harrison was the original singer of Kansas City, in case you're curious. Okay. Or if you've ever seen Oklahoma, everything's up to date in Kansas City. Oklahoma, the play that was the Shirley Jones. You know what I'm talking about. You and I are the same age. Your dad gets it. Your dad will explain it to you later on. All right. All right. Last thing for you about that money. Jackson, I had brought it up with Ferdy yesterday. The NCAA, from the time I was a kid, which is a ways ago, always was decrying we do not want undue influence by boosters. Leave everything else aside. Aren't we just begging for undue influence by individual boosters by allowing this kind of money to go wherever you want it to go inside that athletic department? not to the new aquarium or whatever it might be?
You sure think so. these schools are ramping up quickly, even some of the non-juggernauts at the Power 4 level. There's a lot of money going around for football and salary for revenue sharing, essentially. And some of them are kind of on the fringe, and some of them are able to get extra on top of it with some of these donations. So I think also we're hearing good news from Fresno State as far as donations. They have a recent $1 million, and everyone's trying to step up their game right now. And as long as the Bulldogs can do it relative to the other Pac-12 opponents, they should be in pretty solid shape as far as winning conference championships.
And that is probably the most cogent point. It's $300 million. It is not within conference. It still, however, is eye-opening to realize that a singular benefactor, same guy that put in $50 million to make sure that the state, I'm not saying he wanted his name on it for sure, but let's just say the $50 million for the renovation had something to do with David Booth having his name on the stadium now. Okay. And another $300 million just as a tip, I guess, to tell him how much he cares. Which, again, if you've got that kind of benefactor, good for you. And hopefully nobody is going to get it in the Pac-12 or Pac-8 or Pac-whatever until Fresno State gets it first. Then that's fine, which means I'm depending upon you, Jackson. I know with the amount of money you make, you could kick in easily $10 million a year and not even bat an eye. So I'm looking for you to be the rainmaker, okay? Hello? Yeah, that laugh tells me everything I need to know. Appreciate it. Anything going on the board that people need to know about as far as specials go? Always great content, obviously.
Yeah, we've still got, technically still fall camp. We've got our 50% off a year special and $1 for the month to try it out, catch up on all the fall camp coverage, and we'll start turning the corner here by Monday when Coach Hintz has his first press conference. It'll officially be game week, so a lot to come.
Well, again, can't wait. Always appreciate it, my friend. Hope you visit the board. I'll talk to you next Tuesday. Take care, Paisan. We'll see you.
All right, you too, Tony. Thank you.
All right, our de facto co-host, Mr. Barkboard.com himself, Jackson Moore. Take a break, tell you about the schedule, hand it off to Phil. His fine show behind the bench will take you to 6, and then it's time for baseball on both stations. Take a break. Bulldog Hour continues on this Friday on Central Valley Sports Leader, 1430 ESPN. Everybody, welcome back to 51. About 5 minutes ago in the show, hand it off to Phil's outstanding show behind the bench. We'll take you to baseball on both stations. I'll tell you about the schedule in just a moment. But first, mind you, once again, if you're on your way home a little earlier planning meal in a couple of hours, don't forget about our great friends at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, proud sponsors of the Bulldog Bread Collective. Really appreciate their work to balance the playing field for Fresno State. And they have a terrific deal going on right now, actually a couple of them. One, the long-standing Tuesday deal, which is the 8-piece bucket for just $10. That's dark meat, original recipe, or extra crispy, or you have the 8-piece original recipe tenders. Either way, $10 for that. And the limited-time offer right now, the $7 Phillips, which features crispy chicken, tasty tenders, or the classic famous bowl, each with a drink, sides, and even sweet pipe poppers. And you can top it all off with peaches and cream sweet lightning soda. Terrific deal for just $7 as they celebrate not only the start of the Fresno State football season, but also F1, the movie, the terrific endeavor with Brad Pitt. Took 3 years to put it together, all about Formula One racing. So if you stop by the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, Kerman, pick up a bucket or two, and tell those local operators, thank you very much for being part of the solution to balance the playing field for Fresno State, not just across the country, but specifically within conferences. Jackson and I were talking just a moment ago. As far as the upcoming schedule, it is brought to you by Ed Dunkel and his terrific business, Precision Civil Engineering. Planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, all there under one roof. 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. And, of course, keep in mind Engineering Yardage, the great fundraiser that Ed has for students there at the Lyles College of Engineering on campus at Fresno State. Ed, a proud graduate there. A lot of the folks that work at Precision went through the Lyles College of Engineering at Fresno State. For every yard gained at home through the air the last several years, a donation has been made to that College of Engineering from Ed and Precision Civil Engineering. It's a great fundraiser, and the goal is to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. It works out beautifully, and it really benefits not only the students, athletes as well, and of course, any business in this case also benefits from the promotion involved. And that's really important because you want that kind of mutual benefit and hopeful. Ed feels this way, and Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply as well, that more businesses will get involved, because you're not going to have the $300 million benefactor around here. It's not going to happen. It's an aberration everywhere, in all honesty. I mean, good for KU that David Booth has that kind of money. What you want is a whole bunch of businesses, if possible, stepping up, and we certainly hope that others will, the way Precision Civil Engineering does, the way Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply does, the way the local operators at KFC do right now. Anyway, as far as the schedule goes, the Giants coming up, it's been a brutal time, one of the worst historically. You got to go back into the 1800s, the last time the Giants were this bad, I think, at home. I don't know how far back you have to go, but it's awful, whatever it is. 12 of 13 they have lost, outscored 20-3. By the Padres. Padres and Dodgers play a very important series in L.A. this weekend, starting tonight. Giants have the Rays, who've had a very disappointing year. They had a good start, but they've been bad lately, although they did win a couple up in Sacramento. So the Giants start 3 with the Rays tonight, 7:15 with a 6:45 pre on 14:30. The A's have the resurgent Angels in. The Angels continue to beat the Dodgers like a drum. They just can't seem to beat everybody else. But they will be at Sacto tonight, 7:05, the first pitch, a 6:35 or 6:30 pregame on our sister station, the Deuce 790. Also, keep in mind, a week from tonight, Phil and everybody will have high school football for you. Central East, which is the newer campus of the two, and Inglewood will be at Collegian to play. So we look forward to that next week as well. As far as the lineup during the week, Phil with his great show Behind the Bench, normally 3 to 6 Monday through Friday, including Thursdays at Fashion Furniture with our good friend Rod Avedikian. Best furniture on the planet, nothing like it in all of California. You hear about it all the time. Their 65th anniversary right now. Always the great furniture, the great conversation of Phil's show. Good Eats as well, El Paso across from River Park every Thursday, but also stop by Fashion Furniture each and every day. And you can always give Phil a call on the Lee's Air hotline, which is 559-320-1430. We are with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, TDAD1, at att.net, TDAD, the number one, at att.net. Tough for me to get back to you guys email-wise. If I can get this back healed up, I will start responding privately. Otherwise, I will get to you over air. Robert, you're another guy with another fine email. I'll try to get to you when I can, my friend. Also, Paul Metters has now returned with his fine show on Saturday morning, Central Valley Sports Report, live from First Ring Sports, 10 a.m. to noon. Check that out on 1430. Again, we've got baseball coming up for the rest of the way here, all the way through the World Series, whether the Giants and A's are involved. And trust me, they're not going to be. But we will have everything through ESPN Radio. We have the 49ers, the Raiders, and the Rams, and everything nationally through Westwood One. We've got the Lakers coming up around the bend. I mentioned high school football. A lot going on, so always tune in to both 1430 and 790. And finally, all the information you need, 1430ESPNFresno.com. You find the live links and podcasts there. Get the app. It makes it a lot easier to listen. And one more reminder about the critically important BulldogBread.com collective. That is for NIL monies. Bread, as in on the table, BREAD.com. Marcus McMarion wants to hear from you. Thanks to Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Thanks to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, and the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Phil is coming up. We'll see you guys with Paul on Monday. Enjoy your weekend on KFIG Fresno.